Alison, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining me. So this Chanel boomerang, it's being sold for $1,930, almost 2,000 Australian dollars. It looks pretty ritzy. It also looks pretty ridiculous at $2,000. What's the core issue with this Chanel designer boomerang?
I think the core issue, it's not necessarily the product, although, you know, I'd have to say there's probably a lot of Indigenous artefact makers out there going, wow, I could get $2,000 for one of my beautifully made returning boomerangs. This one probably doesn't even work. Yeah, it's not necessarily the product itself, Phil. It's just the process of how it was actually created, which is completely devoid of any kind of contact with real live Aboriginal people.
Well, it's something that's we've seen a lot of issues with in the past, and there are some laws around, I know at least in Australia, around who can produce and distribute, sort of Indigenous things like boomerangs or Indigenous art. Now, this isn't the first time that Chanel have appropriated a boomerang. They did so a couple of years ago. Are companies purposely appropriating cultures like Indigenous culture for a profit, or do you think it's bred out of sort of ignorance?
Yeah, I think it is. I think the call that it's a racist act, you know, it's probably a bit harsh, only because it is it's ignorance in the sense that, you know, I think, you know, their intentions were quite good. I mean, you know, it's sort of interesting that, you know, the boomerang is part of this luxury sports collection, you know, like as if there's going to be these, you know, uber rich, you know, heading down to the park and throwing their Chanel boomerang and then, you know, having it return. Of course, that's just not going to happen. Although I'd love to watch that. It'd be great to watch some people get hit in the head
with their $2,000 boomerangs.
Yeah, look, I just sort of think, you know, a lot of the way this is being reported as well is like, oh, you know, Chanel should be ashamed of themselves. I don't want to bash Chanel. I want to invite Chanel to come to Australia and do it proper kind way, because I think that would be the absolute best response for Chanel right now, is to actually co-create a range of boomerangs that actually work, but with Aboriginal Australia, because we could make a beautiful range and we could all make some money together.
Well, the current boomerang as it stands is, I would say, fairly boring looking. I feel like they could have maybe done a little bit better, and a bit of collaboration might have upped the ante on that boomerang.
Yeah, now, look, that's right. And I think that's part of why it hits home with why some people are offended by it, because it is one of the iconic images of the Aboriginal or Indigenous Australian brand. But, you know, the Indigenous Australian brand isn't just about boomerangs. It's got amazing, rich, you know, Aboriginal art, the best contemporary art in the world. I mean, the potential for collaboration by bringing the two brands together, Indigenous Australia and Chanel, you know, is really, really, I think, what should be happening in 2017.
If you've just tuned into The Daily, we're speaking right now with Indigenous designer and filmmaker Alison Page about the $2,000 boomerang which Chanel recently released, and the backlash over cultural appropriation that's come from that. Now, Alison, there has been a big backlash over social media, and Chanel's response was to apologise but leave it at that. Do you think that people are becoming, and this response, do you think that people are becoming more socially aware of cultural appropriation?
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, I've been in this game, you know, Indigenous design for 20 years, and, you know, really, it was a big battle for us. We used to call it the didgeridoo, you know, which is all the fakes, you know, and, you know, of course, there's the Indigenous Art Code now, and, you know, it's been a long battle, but actually there has been some traction over the last, you know, few years with the actual market and with consumers demanding things that are authentic. So, you know, whilst you will get, you know, people who are just ignorant buying it because it's got, it's sort of, you know, it's groovy, it's sort of, you know, it's on their wall. I don't think the market really, you know, I think they're smarter than that. And, of course, they will always buy something on aesthetic first. But very close second is the story of its provenance, where it's from, how it was made, you know. And of course, when you've got an item like this that has absolute provenance, yeah, well, we know what the provenance is. It was just drawn by someone in Chanel's studio and made, you know, God knows where. So, you know, I think consumers are smarter than that these days. I'd like to think so, anyway.
Mm. Well, as an Indigenous artist yourself, seeing something like this released by Chanel, do you think that things like this directly affect you or other Indigenous artists in terms of your work or cultural property?
I have mixed feelings, to be honest, Philip, because, like, on one hand, you know, the designer in me goes, oh, my God, you know, Chanel is really interested in engaging with Indigenous culture. And then the other part of me is like, oh, but they should do it. They actually should engage with, you know, real-life Aboriginal designers out there. Because, you know, we could make beautiful music together, and I think that, you know, Indigenous Australia would love to have the distribution capability and the brand power that Chanel has. So that's why I think, you know, I've done projects in the past with, you know, Luxottica, actually. We worked together to release a pair of Ray-Bans with Aboriginal art on it, and, you know, part of the profits went towards, you know, eye health in Aboriginal communities. You know, that's a great story. That's a beautiful, proper kind way of doing it.
Yeah, well, I think it would be nice to see. It would be really nice to see that happen. And moving on, I suppose, beyond Australia's Indigenous culture into a lot of different cultures being not so much appropriated, but collaboratively, built into something and given high profile.
Yeah, I think so. It's sort of quite akin, really. I think I was quoted as saying, "Oh, Chanel's going to come out with the, you know, the Chanel stone axe and the Chanel Indian headdress for festival goers." But, you know, I think it is akin to that, you know, when you have young girls going to, you know, big festivals wearing the Indian headdress, I mean, you know, they just want to look cool, but they don't really understand, you know, what they're actually wearing. And so it does require, but it, to me, I see that as an open invitation for that education process to kind of happen. And, you know, frankly, I'm glad this discussion is happening on such a global scale.
Good. Well, that's definitely the positive to come out of all of this, the discussion that it is sparking. Alison, thanks so much for joining me to unpack this. Always a tricky issue to deal with, I suppose. But, yeah, appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks, Philip.